It is with the backdrop, if you will, of both my awareness of the details of your history as a church to know that Pastor Eric has, and actually Lady Vonda as well, have found their way back home. It is not haphazard that things would come around the way they have. It is with that backdrop, knowing that things have not always been easy, that I present this message today. It is with that backdrop that some of the principles that I will share with you this morning should affirm things that you have already done, things that you have already implemented, the reason why you are where you are today. It is with that backdrop that you should be affirmed. It is also with the backdrop of 2020 having been the type of year that it has been, and all the things that we have seen with COVID-19 and job layoffs and all the various different trials and difficulties that men and women face, that I also pray that the principles I share with you not only confirm things that you have implemented in the past, but will also bring forth an encouragement to you in what may be difficult times. I have no idea where you are, but God has been striding with you. In fact, he has gone ahead of you according to the word of God. And it says that he has already established the end from the beginning. In other words, before you ever began, God had already established your end to be a great end. Amen. Y'all gonna have to talk to me a little bit. I know we on social media, but y'all gonna have to open up those mics and talk to me a little bit, because I'm really excited about what I'm getting ready to share with you. Because I want to affirm some things, but I also want to make sure that I encourage you through what I know is a difficult time at different places of our journey. And so my message today, if you will, just turn with me to Proverbs 19:21 before I pray. Proverbs 19:21, here's what it says. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19:21. If you all will forward the slides, there we go. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. What I want you to understand before we pray here this morning is my message is dealing with, don't bail me out, I'm sticking to the plan. All right? Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen. Amen.
Don't bail me out, I'm sticking to the plan. And I don't know where you are along the plan of God, but I want to encourage you this morning, do not bail out. And I'm going to help you understand that difficulty that we face in fulfilling God's plan here today as we walk through. Let us pray this morning. Father, I thank you that first of all, you have ordained this hour for such a time as this, that whatever, Lord God, that I have prepared in diligence, Lord, I pray you take and you magnify it, that you translate it into the words and the hearing that is necessary for each individual circumstance and situation. I pray, Lord God, that no weapon formed against this service via bandwidth and internet connections, Lord God, interfere with the flow of what you're getting ready to do in and through this message this morning. Father, we are a people who have faith that, Lord God, you have established a great end for us. But Father, we also are not ignorant to the fact, Lord God, that we will go through some difficulties. And Father, I thank you and I praise you right now, Lord God, that you're giving us hope for our plan, for the plan you have, but also giving us strength for the journey that we have to get to the plan you have prescribed for us. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, go with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, you have to understand, I'm a teacher this morning, and I don't intend to rush through this, but I'm going to do my best to ensure that I honor the time that's been established for me. But if I cut this short, you will miss some of what I have to share, and I don't want you to miss any of it. So I'm going to do my best to stay on track and not flow off, but I want you to hear this. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." God says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If I recall, this is probably one of the most, outside of John 3:16, it's one of the most quoted scriptures. If you haven't done but a little bit of Sunday school, come on, somebody, you know Jeremiah 29 and 11.
Right.
Mama's always quoted to you. I know, for God knows the plans, baby, that he has for you, right? He has plans to prosper you. He has plans not to harm you. And I can tell you, every time I hear that scripture, there's something in me that leaps, right? There's something in me that is encouraged. There is something in me that is refreshed and being reminded that God has a plan for me. And so my principle, go to the principle, if you will. The principle then is God's plans for your life are good, not evil. Okay? And it might seem like a simple principle, but I want you to realize that this is packed full of revelation. God's plans for your life, your individual life, each and every individual life on this line, are for good and not evil. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Look at our problem. Here's where the problem comes in. Look at it. The problem is sometimes because of evil, God's plans do not always appear good. Are you following me?
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
God's plans for our life are for good, not of evil, but sometimes because of evil, it don't look like it's good. When that child, come on, you gave life to, acts as if they lost their ever-loving mind, come on, it don't always seem good.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all following me?
All right.
Come on, when that check that you got at the end of the month never seems to match the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that you put into it, it don't always seem good. We know it's good, but it don't always seem good. Mm-hmm. And so there are circumstances, mm-hmm. situations in life when that person that you revere, that you love, that has led you for so long passes away. It don't seem good at the time. It doesn't seem like God has a plan for you. But the reality is, just because of the problem, you can't lose sight of the principle.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to take time. This is one of those Selah moments. Take a moment to take that in. Just because of the problem don't necessarily mean it's erased or disqualified the plan of God.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes.
God is so good. The reason why this is so important is because when you begin to understand this and catch this, then it becomes something generational that you can even pass down to your children. I was talking to my wife last night, and we were just discussing how things that exercises of faith and moments of faith in our life have found their way in our children. Our children are doing certain things in their young adult lives that reflect what we have put in them early on. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, it didn't always look that good. It didn't always look as smooth or as easy as it's looking now when they start to implement these principles. We had to wrestle with that thing. We had to work it out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So sometimes because of evil, God's plans don't always appear good. Jeremiah 29:4. Let's go there real quick. You love 24:11. I mean 29:11. You love that scripture. But I don't know how many people are familiar with 29:4. You got to rewind back just a few more verses before you get to, I know the plans that I have for you. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, thus says who?
The Lord.
Spirit of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive. Now, that's one thing that you've been carried away captive. But look at the rest of it. Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So let me help you with this part. It's one thing to have a God who knows the plans for you. It's another thing to have that same God be the one who carried you away captive.
Come on, man. All right.
Yes. So you got to understand, before we get to 11, you got to get through verse 4. You got to understand that God has a way of carrying you some places that don't always seem like good is on the way. I need some help in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so God carried them away captive. So here's your principle number two. Let's go there real quick. Principle number two. Before one can know the plan of God, they must first know the God of the plan. Are you following?
Amen.
Before you can know the plan of God, you got to understand the God who put the plan in place in the first place. Are you following with me?
Yes.
This is so important because too often the first thing we do when we get into trouble or we get into problems is we look for the first person to blame, and God is the biggest target, come on somebody, on the board. In other words, the first thing we do when we don't understand why we're going through is we want to look at God and be like, why you let this happen to me? It is not uncommon because David, even a man after his own heart, would look back and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus sitting on a cross would look back and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, it's not a problem. It's not uncommon for the human nature. To find a reason for why good don't look good.
My God. Yeah.
This is something powerful because if you lose sight of the God of the plan, you don't understand the plan.
Yeah.
Understanding him, come on somebody, helps you understand that the plan is going to turn out for your good. Yeah. Understanding nature, understanding who this God is will help you understand this thing is going to be all right. When it's all said and done, when COVID lifts, come on somebody, when all the quarantine is over, come on somebody, it's still going to be all right. He's been here before. He's been in the famine of Egypt. He's been, come on somebody, in the places where people have gone through slavery and captivity, but God has always been the same God and his plan has always been for the good.
My God.
Yes.
And so that's where we are here right now. He says, before one can know the plan of God, you must learn the plan, the God of the plan. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what he says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That means when we get into the word of God and we begin to understand the word of God, then we understand the God of the plan. You cannot understand him without understanding his word. And so the thing that we like to do is we like to lean to our own understanding. Here's what I want you to go to. Go to my second problem here. Here's the second problem. A skewed or inaccurate view of God produces a skewed or inaccurate view of his plan. Are you tracking with me?
Yes.
In other words, I'm going to do it like the young folks and say, if you got a jacked up view of God, then your, come on somebody, your view of his plan is going to be jacked up too. Are you with me? You don't blame God, come on, for what happened to mama and them. You're going to blame God for what happened to you in your childhood. You're going to blame, why? Because you have an inaccurate view of who he is. And so what I want you to grasp here today, go to the next slide, is that how you see God determines three things. It determines how you see yourself, how you see other people, and how you view your circumstances.
Yes.
All right. Grasp this. How I view God determines how I see myself, how I see other people, and how I view my circumstances. Let me give you an example of this here real quick. You ever remember a man named Adam? I don't think you can get to church and not know Adam. And so Adam, come on, had a phenomenal view of God. Adam, if you will, Adam would go to God and he would say, okay, so what do you want me to do? Okay, you want me to name that a giraffe? Okay, that's a giraffe. What else, God? Okay, that right there is a zebra. What else? He had a great relationship. He viewed God as one who was the disseminator of everything, come on, that he had to do in the earth. All the plans that God had for Adam, Adam knew in the very beginning that he could go to God, he could get information from him, get a download, if you will, from God, and he was able to do his job efficiently and effectively. Watch this. But when sin came in, Something happened to his view of God. He went from seeing God as one to get the download. Come on, somebody. To be the one to hide from. Are y'all following this? So his view of God changed. So it changed how he saw himself. Now he has to cover himself. Now, come on, somebody. He has to hide himself from God. Something changed with how he viewed God. I want to ask you something today. Has your view of God changed? Have you ever gone from being the kind of person, man or woman, and when you first got saved, man, you had the kind of faith that would move mountains. You had the kind of encouragement and the faith that would but who looked at you and were like, yes, come on, you're so inspirational. But what happened, come on, along the way? Did somebody pass away? Come on, somebody. Did you lose a job along the way? Then maybe that marriage not work out in your favor? Did something happen, come on, that you did not quite understand that changed how you view God? I want to challenge you this morning, because what happens when life happens, come on, somebody, is we start changing our perspectives. But I don't want you to lose perspective that God is the kind of God that he is. He's still the God, come on, of your salvation. He's still, come on, the one who supplies all of what you need.
That's right.
And so you got to know that everything changes when your view of him changes. If you and I want to get along, I got to see God right. Or else I'm going to see everything that you did in your past before I see God in you. If I want to treat you right, if we want to have a relationship, come on, somebody, that is worth its while, then I'm going to have to make sure that I keep this perspective right. Because when you don't look as good as I know you are, come on, somebody. Right. I gotta know that he's still the God who fashioned and formed you and called you fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Let's go to the next slide here. Jeremiah chapter 29. Go with it real quick. Here's something that God tells them. He says, I want you, while God is the one that's carried you away captive, here's what he tells them to do. I want you in your captivity, in your slavery, come on, somebody, in your bondage, in your tough time, I want you to build houses. I want you to settle down. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to eat what they produce. I want you to marry. I want you to have sons and daughters. I want you to find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. I want you to increase in number there and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have came. In other words, the place that's holding you captive, I want you to seek its peace. Okay. I wish I had some help. The place that's holding your bondage, I want you to seek its peace. That job, come on, somebody, even though it is the thing that is the source of your stress, God says, I want you to seek its peace. I want you to find a way to build in the place of your captivity.
My God.
Here's what he says. He says, pray to the Lord for it. There's a strategy. He said, pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
Hallelujah.
This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners, among you deceive you, nor listen to the dreams with which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely. I want to know if you've heard any false prophecies today. Come on, somebody. I want to know whether or not you've been listening to CNN or Fox News and everything you hear is doom and gloom. But I want you to understand, come on, you got to seek the peace of wherever you are. You got to understand that you're an answer to whatever problem you might be in right now, because God has a plan. Come on, we're working our way to verse 11. We're working our way to, I know the plans I have for you. We're working our way, come on, somebody, to the hope and the future that God says and promises to his people. It might look a little difficult right now. It might not seem like it's something, come on, that I can bear, but he would not allow you to be in it if you couldn't bear it.
That's right.
Yes.
Next slide, real quick. So that's what he said. Next slide. He said build. He said plant. He said eat, marry. You can see it right there, right? To God be the glory. Psalms 23 and 4. Psalms 23 and 4. Here's what he says. Yea, my God, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear
no evil.
No evil.
Thou art with me.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Go to principle number 3 for me real quick. We do not serve a God who comes to bail us out. We serve a God who comes to push us through.
Amen.
Yes. If you're there with me right now, I can see some of you on camper right there. Put your hands in front of you and say, God, push me through it.
God, push me.
Oh my God. See, that's our touch of faith right there. Come on, one more time. Say, God, push me through it.
God, push me.
See, God is a God who he don't come to bail you out. Come on.
Yes.
We want God to get us out of it. We want God, come on, somebody. We want God to rescue. God, if you look, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane say, if there be any way that I can get out of this.
Yes.
Are y'all following me?
Yes.
It's a natural propensity to want to get out of anything that's difficult. And so we got to understand God is not a God who comes to bail us out. So when you understand that, then what you do is you anchor in and you be like, okay, this is what we're going through right now. This is what we got going on today. Amen. All right, Jesus, come on. We've been here before. You're going to get us through. You're going to get it. What was the song? If he did it before.
He'll do it again.
Come on, somebody. We got our own choir right here. Yeah. If he did it before, he will do it
again. And again.
Yeah. Y'all don't want me to go there. I really don't have the time. I'm getting ready to go off on something else. All right. Go with me to the next slide. Let me show you something real quick. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now watch this. I like this right here. I know it's a lot to read, but come on, we get our Bible exercise in. Verse 4 says, then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could not find, watch this, no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Are you following me? Inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption to be found in him. Mm-hmm. Having said all the commissioners and the kingdoms and the prefects and the satraps and high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man besides you, O God, for 30 mm-hmm. days shall be cast into what?
The lion's den.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that this is a law of the Medes and Persians, that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Verse 16 says, then the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. So he did not yield. He did not give way. Come on, somebody, to his faithfulness to God. And he was cast into the lion's den. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring. Why, watch this. And with the signet ring of his noble. Everybody signed off, come on, somebody, on his doom. That nothing would be changed in regards to Daniel. Oh, my God. Go with me to the next principle so we can get through this. We often underestimate the power of God's presence in the midst of difficult situations. I'm going to say it like that. Because what happens is we got to realize, come on, that you may be, being in a lion's den is the face of your worst fear. Being in the lion's den is facing that thing, come on somebody, that you always feared you would have to face. Being in the lion's den brings you face to face, come on somebody, with the very thing that should, if anything, cause you to bail out or to want to compromise or to do anything you can, if you will, to relieve yourself from what you're facing. But that was not what Daniel did. That is not what, come on somebody, look at what he says. Look at the next slide, verse 22, I'm sorry. He says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me. Mm-hmm. Are you following this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I talking about this? It's important because when you face things that you never thought you'd ever have to face in your life, when you have to raise that extra child that after you had raised your children, you never thought you'd have to raise again. I wish I had somebody. When you face an accident, or when you face sickness in your body in ways that you never had to do before, it is easy to believe that it is the point of your doom. It is easy to believe, come on somebody, that God somehow has changed in his plan for your life. You didn't expect this. You didn't know it was coming, but yet here you are facing your worst fear. And God gives us an encouragement through Daniel that says, my God sent his angel and shut up the lion's mouth. It didn't take me around the lion's den. It put me in it, come on, but shut the mouth of the very thing that was my threat.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. 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 He don't have to, watch this. He prepared, the scripture says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
Yes.
Yes.
So I got to be in the presence for the table to be set. I got to be in the presence before God shows his mighty power. I got to see the people who've been in the presence and seeing God come through that you can't shake, come on, in the church. It's God who will hold up the pillars of the faith, come on somebody, when this entire country, come on, is starting to shake and tremble and get unstable. God's people have been in the fire. They've been in places before. We've been there before. We've seen what God can do.
Yeah,
you gotta know without a shadow of a doubt that he is unchanged.
Yeah,
he's forever moving, but he's an unchanging God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But watch this. Go to my resolution, because I like this right here. You gotta realize that what is not your grave is your test, and on the other side of your test is your promotion. Somebody needs to write that down. If it didn't kill you, come on somebody, it's going to make you stronger.
Yeah. That's what they do.
If it didn't take you out, come on somebody, it's going to put you up. Somebody's promotion is coming on the other side of what looked like their grave. Somebody's promotion is coming on the other side of what looked like their doom, that demise. Somebody's promotion, come on, is coming through the next test that is before them.
Come on, my God.
Yes,
what are you facing this morning? Come on, that God is getting ready to promote you through. See, even Jesus, before he could go into his public ministry, had to be tested. It was the test that inaugurated his ministry. It was the test, come on, somebody, that qualified him for.
Ooh, yes, sir.
Yes.
Get through 12 grades, come on, somebody, and not take any test. We want to go through life and have no test. But God says, it looks like this test is getting ready to doom you in. It looks like this test is getting ready to take you out. It looks like this test is more than you can bear. But if you got the revelation that on the other side of it is your promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God. Yes. Hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Let's keep moving.
Yes.
Go with me to the next slide. Here's what I like, because I'm going to give you some insight as to how you might get through when you feel like you're growing, your knees are growing weak. There were some other examples. Daniel in chapter 3, there were some men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Abednego, or that bad nickname anyway. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they survived the fiery furnace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They were put not in the lion's den, they were put in the fire.
Yes.
And God showed up not to bail them out. Mm-hmm. He came. Come on, somebody. Y'all ready? You got a position? He came to push them through.
Yeah. Yeah.
He came to give them the strength to go through it.
Yeah.
Not over, not bypass it, not negate it, not say, you know, this is not going to happen. No. God gave them strength to go through it. Watch this. Daniel was friends with the three men. Go to the next slide. Let me give you this real quick.
Hallelujah.
You got to learn to hang out with people who know how to get through to promotion. My God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to hang out with some people who, see, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends. Come on, somebody. They hung out with good company. They hung out with people, come on, who didn't give up in the middle of a fight. They hung out with people, come on, somebody, who have been through something.
Come on.
They hung out with people, come on, who can encourage them in their time of weakness. I want to know, do you have some friends, come on, somebody, who know how to get you through to promotion?
Hallelujah.
Who you got in your corner? Mm-hmm. New Life Church Global, will you guys be a kind of church that can be a friend to your community? Will you be the kind of people, come on, somebody, that will take your experiences of triumph, come on, somebody, and share it so that somebody else, because of your testimony, can overcome?
Yes.
What kind of friend will you be? What kind of friends do you have in your corner? That's the question that is on the table.
Yes.
Learn to hang out with people who know how to get them to promotion. Y'all ready to do some more Bible search? Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. My God, John chapter 14. Here's what God says. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Here's your principle. Trials and tribulations are necessary for growth, and growth is paramount to fulfilling God's plan. That's what I want you to grasp. Trials and tribulation. God says it. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, it's not a maybe, it's not a might, it's not a possibility. He guarantees, it is a guarantee of God that you're going to face tribulation. But he also promises that he's already overcome it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in the world, he's already overcome it. Are y'all following this?
Yes,
right.
And so trials then and tribulations are necessary for your own personal growth. In other words, the way God gets out of you the best of what's in you is he sends you through trials.
Okay.
See, we say we want God's best, but do we know that best carries us through sometimes some difficult situations? The growth that it produces, come on, is paramount to fulfilling the overall plan of God in your life. Go with me to the next slide. Here's our problem.
Come on with the problem.
We fail to realize that bailing out. Now, this is a little lengthy, but grasp me, I'll explain it. Bailing out will always be a temporary interruption of an unavoidable process. Let's stop right there. Let's take it in bite size. You cannot avoid the process if you want God's result. So bailing out is a temporary interruption. I want to know if I've had anybody on here who had a 10-year interruption, who had a 15-year interruption, who had a 20-year interruption in the plan of God. Maybe when you were a teenager, come on, somebody, you walked with him, but somehow something interrupted.
Yes.
My God.
Yes, yes.
Bailing out will always be a temporary interruption of an unavoidable process. So here's the second part of it. But it's at the expense of a more permanent and fulfilling solution. In other words, what you sacrifice in the end is you sacrifice having peace.
Yeah.
You sacrifice being fulfilled.
Yes.
You sacrifice knowing the joy of being used of God in such a way to impact your community, your family, your nation, your generation. You sacrifice it. It becomes the expense for bailout. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the definition of what bailout is. It's real simple. Bailout simply means to release a person from a difficult situation. Simple. So anytime you look for the scapegoat, I'm not saying that God won't provide a way of escape, because he will. But if you know God, you know that escape is a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So let me break it down. Israel had to go through the Red Sea. The Red Sea was scary. Number one, he had to put his rod in the water before God would show the rest of his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the rod in the water that opened up and unlocked the rest of the plan. Mm-hmm. And so they had to walk through on dry ground. And it's scary because you imagine this ain't natural, ain't nothing normal about the waters heaped up on either side.
No,
but the reality is it was God who did it. Come on. And he got them through to the other side.
Yes.
Now, the reality is, had they not been obedient,
come on,
they may have forfeited the outcome, come on, and plan of God. And so you got to realize you can't be released of difficulty. It's going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. It's going to get trying, but it is God's plan that you go through, not stay in. I'm almost done here. Let's keep working.
Oh, take your time. Take your time.
Go with me to our next problem. Now, I like this. Too often we expect to hear, well done, job.
Mm-hmm.
That is only half done.
Oh.
I'm going to say it one more time. Mm-hmm. If bailout gets us out of difficult situations, what happens to our mindset? The problem we have as believers at times is too often we want to hear God say, well done.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the job is only half done.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote something on this. I want to read it real quick for you. Give me 1 second. Let me find it. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me find what I'm looking for here. Yes. So the reality of this is that when, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, where is it at? Okay, so watch this. Giving God only half of your heart causes us to fall short, come on, of a whole relationship with him. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Telling only half the truth will always equal a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
A job half done is a job undone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to hear you brag about how you almost did it.
That's right.
When her heart is ripped out and ripped apart and she is stretched out in the counselor's office because of your actions, she don't want to hear how you almost resisted the temptation.
Oh.
Will you bail out on God or will you stick with his plan? Mm-hmm. Are y'all following me?
Yes.
In other words, we want the whole done result and accolades when all we've done, and we know we've only done half the work. Are y'all tracking with me today?
Amen.
That's an important part.
Yes, it is.
Go with me to the next slide. So I'm going to give you a visual real quick. So bear with me. Here are your visuals. God's goal is to get you from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
To get you from origination to a destination. That's the goal, right? So go back to 29:11. Look at it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He outlines the destination, right? He outlines mm-hmm. what the goal is. He says, I've got a plan. I got a destiny for your life. Here's what we underestimate. Go to the next slide. Now, don't be laughing at my pictures here, my cartoon characters here. But there's something in flight. If you've ever gone in an airplane before, that's called turbulence. The problem we face in flight is turbulence. Turbulence mm-hmm. is described as being violently agitated or disturbed, chaotic or restless, causing unrest. I was traveling back from India. This was back in 2008. Yeah, around 2008, I'd taken a team to India. And we were on our way into India from Germany at the time. And literally it felt like somebody had their hands on the plane and was shaking it up and down like this. I don't know if you've ever felt that level of turbulence before.
Wow.
When it feels like the plane is about to shake apart. Literally, there were people praying in tongues out loud. I heard all manner of things happening because this was not normal in mm-hmm. flight. Are you following this?
Mm-hmm.
We were violently agitated. We were disturbed. Our flight from point A to point B became chaotic. We experienced unrest. Are you following this? So when you get in situations like that, you can be one of two people. Go to the next slide. Here's how you can respond. You can be a faithful person. The first type of person in this place today is a faithful person. Let me show you what characteristics of faithful. Go to the next slide. A faithful person, come on, they anticipate turbulence. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. They acknowledge discomfort. They don't deny it. Come on. David was a great example of a praying believer. It seems like David always started his prayers out, why have you forsaken me, God? Oh, why this, why that? But he always ended it, but you are God everlasting. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Are you following me? He started his prayers one way, but he always ended it, come on, with the praise and adoration of his God. So he acknowledged the discomforts of being a human living this life. Faithful people acknowledge discomfort. They ultimately obey God's instructions. Are you following me? So what they do is they lock it in. They put their seatbelt on because they know it is inevitable. I got to go through the process if I'm going to get to the destination. Okay? But then there's some other people in the room too. Go to the next slide for me. Now you got your fearful folks.
I'm going to hurt.
I don't know if you've ever been on the plane with somebody like this, but these are those fearful folks. The second type of person in this place is the fearful folks. Go to the next slide. Let's see what the fearful folks are like. These are the people who avoid what they cannot control. I don't know who I'm talking about here today. They lack patience. Come on, somebody. They question God's ability to get them to the destination. The reason why this is important is because these people are looking. Look at my man on the right. He's looking for his parachute. Under his seat, come on, somebody, is a parachute. When first time Pastor Majette says something that you don't like, come on, somebody, you reaching for your parachute. Come on, you looking for a bailout. The first time y'all can't agree on something in the church meeting, come on, somebody, you looking for your parachute. I wish I had somebody who knew what it was like to live in a church, come on, with some fearful folks. I ain't got to have no amens. I know about it.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
The reality of this thing is you got to know there's some people who expect tribulation and turbulation. There are other people who have their hands on the plane. I wish I had some help. My God. So the reality is, go with me to the parachute. The next slide. what a parachute represents, that person or thing in your life that comes along offering you to bail out from the necessary discomforts designed to change us for God's good. In other words, when people offer you a parachute, or when you are looking for a personal parachute in your life, then what you're saying is, I do not want to be better. I do not want to be changed. I don't want God to grow me. I don't want God, come on, to build me. I don't want to grow up into the full measure and stature of Jesus Christ. What you're saying is, God, take me out of the process. I'm good where I am. Woo! You got to know that in this day and generation, we don't need the parachutes. In this day and generation, when it seems like, come on, somebody, that it may seem more dangerous to walk outside of your home, come on, down to the corner store, when it seems like racism, come on, is rampant around us, when it seems like you've got Uzi carrying, gun carrying, come on, folks who are waiting for the opportunity, come on, to do something mischievous. It seems like, no. Now is not the time for you to look for your parachute. Now is the time that God has prescribed for the church, that we stand up and we be who he says we are, that we represent him in the way that he says we should represent. Now is the time you open your mouth. Now is the time, come on, you lock it in and say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here, and I stand with the torch and the light of Jesus Christ because God has a purpose, he has a plan, and this is my generation. My parents did what they did. My grandparents did what they did. This is my generation. Woo! I need some my generation folks to say, push us through this thing, God.
Push us through.
Woo! Hallelujah. I'm almost done. We're almost there. We're almost there. I promise you we're almost there. Go to the next slide. Sometimes it can seem like when you're in these turbulent situations that you're in a detox type of situation. I don't know if you've ever known anybody who's been in detox from drugs, from sex, from alcoholism or whatever else. But when they go through detox, they go through withdrawals. Your character will go through detox. Your mind may experience withdrawals. You may seem and feel as though you cannot deal with this. This is where the pastor in me comes in, because I want to encourage you. I want you to know you are not in it alone. Though it may seem like you are, you're not there by yourself. You can make it through. I know it seems that this is difficult. It might look like a dark place. It may seem like your body, come on, somebody, is going to forsake you. But yet God has a plan for your life. He has a hope. He has a future. It don't matter how you feel. Come on, get hold of the word of God and stand on and know without a shadow of a doubt that the same God who brought you out before can bring you out again.
Amen.
Go with me to... We got about, what, five more slides? Go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Here's what he says. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. That's a powerful thing. Look at our principle.
Great cake.
Here's our principle. Change will never produce promise without the ingredient of process. Many of us are accustomed to changes happening. Things change around us every day. And some of you might not believe that I'm old enough to know what this song was, but y'all remember a song back, everything must change. Anybody remember that? There was a song that went out some time ago that everything must change, right? So we experience changes all the time. But changes don't produce promise unless you have the ingredient of process. Everybody follow me? Here's our resolution, and I want you to grasp this. You got to make up in your mind that before you experience turbulence, I'm going to stick to the plan. Yeah. I made up my mind a long time ago that I've come this far by faith. Come on, somebody. And I am not turning around now. I'm going to stick to God's plan. I'm going to keep up with what he tells me I need to do. Everything around me can change. But if I bail out on the process, come on, I won't be who he wants me to be. I won't do what he wants me to do. I'm going to stick to the plan. Are you following me? My dear bishop has a couple of quotes. I want to read those to you. I thought they were helpful to insert into this slide. Bishop Jake says this. He says, how you manage or react to change will always dictate how and if you receive promise. He also goes so far as to say people give up before they get to promise because they are wearied from the process of change. Right? He goes on to say, when people are under pressure, they have a tendency to revert back to acting like where they came from. Let's pause there for a second. There is a man by the name of Peter. Peter was the disciple who was willing to cut off the ear of a soldier, come on, for approaching his Jesus. Are you with me? He was also the man who God took from being a fisher of men, come on, and made him a fisher of fish and made him a fisher of men, right? Well, there's something interesting about Peter that happens when Jesus dies on the cross, come on, and after his resurrection, but before he reappears to Peter, there's a passage of scripture where Peter says this. Number one, Jesus is gone now, right? He doesn't know that he's resurrected. And what he says is alarming. He says, I'm going back fishing. And the Bible says, and all the men around him said, we're going with you. In other words, the man who was called from fishing fish to be a fisher of men, when he saw no hope for his future, reached back what he used to do. Why is that important? Where there is no vision, come on, somebody, all you have is the past. All you have is what you know. All you have, come on, somebody, is the very thing. It's easy to pick up where you left off 20 years ago. It's easy, come on, somebody, to do the things that came natural to you. It's much harder, come on, to go through turbulence with faith than it is to go through turbulence and sit down and do what is natural to your flesh and to what you feel. Last but not least, the hardest thing you will ever do in life is change. I want to close out with the promise here today, because I feel the spirit of the Lord in this place. Go with me real quick to the next scripture. Here's what he says. Go back one more slide to Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. He reminds us, for thus says the Lord, here's the promise. After 70 years are completed, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So what he does is he gives this promise. So go now to the promise here real quick. And these are our last two slides. We're closing out here. Here's what he says. For when God has a promise to Abraham, made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. God's promise is, I'm going to bless you in spite of what you've been through. Come on. I will bless you. It's a promise of God. He said, I will bless you. The only reason why Apostle Paul, come on, could be stoned half to death in the pit and get up, come on the very last blow and say, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. He stopped the process of death, come on, because they knew, number one, that they could not stone a Roman citizen. Number two, God promised him he would preach in Rome. It hadn't happened yet. I wonder what God promised you that ain't happened yet. Come on, somebody. It may be the reason why you're still here. It may be the very reason why you're still hanging around. It may be the very reason why, in spite of how your body feels, come on, somebody, that mind of yours is still hoping, come on, that you'd make a difference to impact this generation. I want to know if somebody got a promise in here that God said, I will bless you, and you ain't giving up because of his promise. Go to the next one real quick. Isaiah 58. This is our closeout. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. Saints of God, let me tell you. You might be going through, but his promise and his plan, come on, is what keeps you in the fight. Weeping may endure for a night, but he promises that joy shall come in the morning time. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. He's the one who prescribed, come on, somebody, that you be here on purpose. And though he may not have caused the evil to come nigh unto you, he is the one who's with you while you go through it. He is the one who foreknew that maybe things may get a little difficult. He is the one who knew that it would get hard, but he had promised you.
Yes.
And
yes.
He has never reneged on his promise.
Yes.
Thanks to God. I want you to be encouraged. Don't bail out now.
All right.
Stick to the plan. Don't bail out now. Come on. He's got a work for you to do. This ain't over. In fact, this is the inauguration of the kingdom of God in the earth. This day, this time, and in the time of great tribulation, I believe that in pre-tribulation, in other words, I believe that we will be raptured before the great, great tribulation begins to happen. Come on, y'all, some of y'all know some of that Bible teaching. So I believe that, but I believe that the saints of God will be close enough to feel the fire. I believe that we'll be close enough to know. He said this world would increasingly grow worse and worse, right? And so if it's growing worse and worse, then we should grow more and more vigilant, come on, and present and more of a light and more of salt in the earth. Why? Because we know that the time of the end is drawing near and we want none to perish. There is a promise in the earth and there's a promise to you. And God is trying to get you to understand you are part of it. You're activated. I activate your faith today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for every person that is on this screen, every person listening by phone, for every person that is on the Zoom call, for every person that may listen to the recording, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that will cause them to bail out of the process that is prescribed for their success, for their promotion. I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, that they are waxing strong, Lord God, in the word of the Lord. Father, stir up the gift that is on the inside of them. Renew the passion, Lord God, to serve the Lord and his people. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we will not walk by fear, come on, but we will walk by faith. Father, I thank you that we, Lord God, will not just be lamb, but we will be lion, Lord God, that we will be vigilant, but Lord, we will also have the care and the compassion, Lord God, that is necessary to bridge this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, Jesus.
Father, there's a white man, a black man, an Asian man, an Indian man. There are women in all races and creeds, Lord God, who need us. Father, there are people that we've never sat down to talk with before that I believe you're going to allow to cross our path, that we may build relationships, that we may be bridges, Lord God, of the gospel, that we may do the work. Father, we know that we're one man and one woman, Lord God. We know that we may not be able to change the entire world, but Lord, we're going to change what is within our reach. We're going to touch, Lord God, what we have access to. Father, we're going to make an impact where we are with what we have in the name of Jesus. Amen. And together as a universal body of believers, Jesus in his full measure will stand up in this day, in this time, and they shall see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living.